We are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita Sitis, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 2. Adas Chorudvam Prasitas Tasya Saka Guna Pravridha Visaya Pravala Adas Cha Mulani Anusantatani Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke Adaschadvam Prasista Tasya Saka
Adaschadvam Prasista Tasya Saka
Guna Pravedha Visaya Pravala
Guna Pravedha Visaya Pravala
Adascha Mulani Anusantatani
Adascha Mulani Anusantatani
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Adascha Dvam Prasistastasya Saka Puna Pravridha Visaya Pravala Adascha Mulani Anushantatani
Adascha Mulani Anushantatani
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Adaschodvam Prasistastasya Saka
Adaschodvam Prasistastasya Saka
Guna Prabhreda Visaya Prabhala
Guna Prabhreda Visaya Prabhala
Adascha Mulani Anushantatanani
Adascha Mulani Anushantatanani
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke Adascha Mulani Anushantatanani Guna Prabhreda Visaya Prabhala Adascha Mulani Anushantatanani Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Adascha
Mulani Saka Adascha Mulani Anushantatani
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Karmanubhandini Manushya Loke
Adascha Mulani Anushantatani
Adha,
Adha.
Downwards.
Downwards.
Cha.
Cha.
End. Urdhvam.
Upward.
Prasista.
Extended.
Tasya.
Eats.
Sakaha.
Branches.
Guna by the moods of material nature. Vavridha developed Vishaya sense objects. Prabala twigs. Adha downward. Cha end. Mulani roots. Anusantatani extended. Karma to work. Anubhandini bound. Manushaloke in the world of human society. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Raisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. The branches of this tree extended downwards and upward, nourished by the three moods of material nature. The twigs are the object of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. Let's repeat. The branches of this tree, extended downwards and upwards, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The trees are the object of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. The description of the banyan tree is further explained here. Its branches spread in all directions. In the lower parts, they are variegated manifestations of living entities, human beings, animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats, etc. These are situated on the lower parts of the branches, whereas on the upper parts are higher forms of living entities, the demigods, Gandharvas, and many other higher species of life. As a tree is nourished by water, so this tree is nourished by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we find that a tract of land is barren for want of sufficient water, and sometimes a tract is very green. Similarly, where particular modes of material nature are proportionately greater in quantity, the different species of life are manifested accordingly. This thing is disturbing. The twigs of the tree are considered to be the sense object. By development of the different modes of nature, we develop different senses, and by the senses we enjoy different varieties of sense objects. The teeth of the branches are the senses, the ears, nose, eyes, etc., which are attached to the enjoyment of different sense objects. The twigs are sound, form, touch, and so on. The sense object. The subsidiary roots are branch attachments and aversions, which are byproducts of different varieties of suffering and sense enjoyment. The tendencies towards piety and impiety are considered to develop from these secondary roots, which spread in all directions. The root is from Brahmaloka, and the other roots are in the human planetary systems. After one enjoys the result of virtuous activities in the upper planetary systems, he comes down to this earth and renews his karma or fruitive activities for promotion. This planet of human beings is considered the field of activities. This thing is disturbing. Very disturbing. Christian is better. Anyway, Krishna was describing the three moods of material nature. Chapter 14, the three modes of material nature. Chapter 15, Krishna is giving a graphic demonstration how this material nature works. And he did that from text 1 to 5, in 5 verses. Krishna is teaching detachment from the material nature. So it is said here, the branches, the text 1, he's talking about the tree. The text 1, describing a tree. This tree has the root up and the branches down. Udra mulam ada sakam. And we have not seen a tree like that in this world. Except if you go to the bank of a river. The reflection of a tree by the bank of a river shows exactly what Bhagavad Gita is talking. You can see the tree down, and the root is up. Here, the upward tree is Brahmaloka. That's the beginning of material world. The lower planet, the downward, is the planet of the human beings, and lower than that. Every tree has branches and twigs and leaves and fruit. Similarly, the tree of this material world has a lot of branches and the twigs, and Prabhupada described them here very vividly. He said, in the lower parts, there are variegated manifestations of living entities, human beings. They have animals, horses, and varieties. These are situated on the lower part of the branches, whereas on the upper part are higher forms of living entity, like the demigods, the Gandharvas. They are up, and we are down. According to the living entity's position in the modes, we have different experiences, different situations. The demigods have a better position than us. Therefore, the quality of their sense gratification is superior, thousands of times superior to the quality of our sense gratification. Let me try one. So the situations are not the same. The differences are not imposed upon living entities. The differences are according to the mode which we are in. A person in the mode of goodness, a person in the mode of passion, a person in the mode of ignorance cannot have the same situation. That is our own desire, our own choice, that we choose to be in ignorance or in passion. It's our choice. It will be in the mode of goodness. It's our choice. So sometimes we taste wonderful life or very bitter life or combination of both of them. Happiness, distress, or mixture of distress. These are the experience of the conditioned souls in the material world. Because the mode of nature are always competing. Sometimes the mode of goodness is dominating. You wake up in the morning, everything is very, very wonderful, very sweet. You have interest to chant, you want to go to Mangareti, you feel very good about your life. That mode of goodness is dominating at that time. Without a cause, you wake up very happy, satisfied, and the day looks very wonderful. And after some time, the mood has changed. Intense desire, intense anxiety, no taste for anything becomes the situation. Some days you wake up, nothing has any meaning at all for life, only anxiety. It's a struggle to get up, even from bed. It's a struggle. A mode of darkness is dominating. In this way, the living entities are always moving. You can go up, you can come down, or you're in the middle situation. These different experiences are due to the moods of material nature. Our senses are arranged in such a way that we have different tastes. It is the same ingredient, the same 24 elements, not different. The Lord Brahma used to make the whole universe, the same 24 elements. The Brahma used it again to make our own body, the same 24 elements. The same 24 elements Lord Brahma used to make ant body, the same. But the taste different. The ingredients are the same, the taste is different. What made the difference is our desire. The desire place all the living entities in different mode and in different situations. We have the chance to transcend the modes. That is the point Krishna is describing this chapter. We have the chance to transcend the modes. He has already described that in chapter 14. Mam chayo avyabhi charena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samititaitan brahma boya kalpate. To transcend the mood, we need to engage in devotional service without a break. Constant devotional service. Even in the material world, if you have a business and you open the shop once a week, or when you like, and you close when you like, how wonderful would that be? How wonderful would that business be? Nobody will take you seriously. Even their customers will curse you and leave your product and go somewhere else. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, spiritual activities, Krishna used the word avyabhicharana. In two places, chapter 13, chapter 14, Krishna used this word avyabhicharana. Avyabhicharini means constant practice, without a break. Krishna consciousness has no holiday. Krishna consciousness has no recreation. Krishna consciousness has no leave. It is constant. It is always. Just like we breathe, always. Krishna consciousness is also always activity to be performed. So we have the choice to transcend the modes. Transcending the mood is the duty of human beings. And we see that every day according to the moods that dominate individuals. We see our performance. So pure devotees looking at living entities, they don't get disturbed by our sinful or nonsense activities because they know that the moods are acting. They know the moods are acting. And they also understand that by engaging in Krishna consciousness seriously, the mood of nature will be removed from our life, and we will develop a transcendental mood which is the nature of the soul. The soul by nature is transcendental, is pure. In this chapter 15, Krishna is going to tell us the soul is never Nirguna Twat, Anadi Twat. This chapter will tell us later. The soul is never entangled. The soul is never conditioned. Is Nirguna Twat, Anadi Twat. It is always transcendental. Then if the soul is always transcendental and is never entangled, why are we experiencing the moods? Why do we experience the moods? We experience the mood due to ignorance, misidentification with the body. It's only ignorance. And Prabhupada gave example how to practically experience, how to see this, that our suffering in this material world, it is completely unnecessary and has nothing to do with the soul. It's when one sleeps, which is the condition of all living entities in the material world. Anyone who is not in Krishna consciousness is sleeping. Only devotees in Krishna consciousness are awake. Also, is not practicing Krishna consciousness are sleeping, and during the sleep, which is what? Dream is illusion. In a mundane way, dream is illusion. In a psychic world, in a psychic way, dream is different. It's a lesson. It's a demonstration to show us that the soul is actually different from the body. In a psychic way. In a mundane way, dream is illusion. So those who are in dreaming, conditioned souls who are not in Krishna consciousness, they're dreaming, will feel it as if it is real. But everybody knows that dream is illusion, is not real. When the person is dreaming and they are falling, is fear. But if you wake up after falling, or you may not fall, either you fall, you didn't fall, you get up in the middle of the dream out of fear, you will see that you are not falling from anywhere. You are simply lying down on a solid bed. So what has happened is illusion. This is what is happening. That illusion is making everyone who's attached to this material world to feel that the soul is conditioned, the soul is not eternal entity. In reality, according to the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, the soul is never conditioned. We simply experience that because we are sleeping and we are dreaming. To come out of this dream, the process is Krishna consciousness, taking seriously to our sadhana. Sadhana brings empowerment. It brings transformation. When one is empowered, it means what? Empowered. Some energy which has not been with us have been invested in us. It's empowerment. Shakti, Apesha. We have been empowered by Krishna's energy. Strong energy to act beyond our capacity. That is what sadhana brings. When one is empowered, then we can perfectly and properly represent Krishna, pure Krishna consciousness. And our activities will affect anyone that comes in contact with us. That is empowerment. Anyone who comes in contact with us as a devotee, we should have the ability to affect their Krishna conscious life. We should be able to have the strength to stimulate anyone who comes in contact with us as devotees. We should be able to stimulate their Krishna consciousness and raise the consciousness to Krishna consciousness. That is the duty of all devotees, practicing Krishna consciousness. That is the proof of our sadhana, that will get purified. So Krishna, I recommend we should continue to do our sadhana strictly every day without a break. Automatically, we will be empowered to rise above the modes of material nature and become transcendental, to realize, like anyone else who practicing Krishna consciousness. The person who is practicing Krishna consciousness, we can examine it and see where we are. The person who is engaged in eating, every morsel of food you take, the hunger does not increase. The hunger goes down. Every morsel of food you take, the hunger will go down naturally. And as hunger is going off, satisfaction comes. And there is nourishment. Three things for a person who is engaged in eating. You must get these three things. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, a person who is engaged in practicing Krishna consciousness, transcending the modes, you will also experience three things. One, direct perception, direct vision, direct experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Direct. Just that nobody tells a person who is eating to give up eating that you are satisfied. You who is eating tells yourself that you are satisfied. Now you don't need to eat again. Their belly is full. Similarly, a person who is practicing Krishna consciousness will know that yes, I'm approaching transcendence. I'm approaching transcendence. Direct experience. The real perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that is taking place, material desire automatically goes down. Automatically, it goes down. As much material interest, material attraction, material desire, material taste are going down. Our interest to continue Krishna consciousness keeps increasing. Our taste for Krishna continues to increase. Three things. The taste for Krishna consciousness is increasing. Our interest in Krishna consciousness is increasing. Material desires are going down. And direct perception of the Supreme Personality of God is experienced. It's Krishna consciousness. It is something we can experience. Because it is a substance. It's a substance that can be felt, can be experienced. So here, the title is The Yoga of the Supreme. To attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead by transcending the moods of nature. You will also notice that in Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is in chapter 12. And the mode of nature is chapter 14. Which one is better? Mode of nature or pure devotional service? Which one is better? Devotional service. So why devotional service is under mode of nature? See about Gita. Chapter 14 is what? The three modes of material nature. And chapter 12 is devotional service. Krishna made mistake? Krishna made mistake, yeah? Why is it that? Did you notice that? Chapter 12, devotional service. Krishna is talking about devotional service. And chapter 14 is the three modes of material nature, which we should transcend. We cannot transcend devotional service. We can transcend the mode of nature. So devotional service should be in chapter 14 or chapter 18 instead. Right? Well, Krishna placed it in chapter 12 and he's talking about mode of nature in chapter 14. That is not a mistake. That is not a mistake. It is supreme intelligence of Krishna. That is supreme intelligence of Krishna. In this material world, if devotional service is predominating or mode of nature is predominating, which one is predominating? The mode of nature. The three modes of nature. Therefore, Krishna played it. Because this is a serious concern. It's a serious concern. That in the spiritual world, bhakti predominate. In the material world, the mode of nature predominate. Everything in this material world is controlled by the three modes of nature. Everything. The food which we take, chapter 17 is going to discuss that. The food which we take is controlled by mode of nature. The charity which we give is controlled by mode of nature. Austerity which we perform is controlled by three modes of nature. Knowledge is three modes of nature. Devotional service is also practiced in three modes of nature, in three modes. Like chapter 3rd canto Bhagavatam. Kapila Muni described that. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Devotional service in the mode of passion. Devotional service in the mode of goodness. And the transcendental devotional service, which is compared to the Ganges water flowing into the sea. No obstruction. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. No obstruction. Therefore, Krishna plays the three modes of nature here to show us everything in this world is controlled by the mode. Mode of nature is controller. And what controls the mode of nature? Time. Time controls the mode of nature. What controls the time? The super soul controls the time. And what controls the super soul? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the boy of Nanda Maharaj, he is the supreme control, he is behind everything in this material world. Therefore, he is giving us the process had to transcend the mood and become transcendental, to Bhamabhuta, Pasanatma, Nasochati, Nakanshati, Sama Servesu, Bhutisu, Madhbhaktim, Dabhatim, Param. The Vaishnava series begins from this stage, when the modes are transcended. It's the beginning of devotional service. Madhbhaktim, Labhate, Param. That's the way devotional service begins. What is devotional service? The service which gives Krishna pleasure. That devotional service is performed by pure devotees. So when we say devotee, we're talking about pure devotees who have transcended the mood. They are rendering service only for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to make Lord Krishna happy, to make Krishna satisfied. That is devotional service performed by devotees of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any comments, question? Yeah, it's good being. Hare Krishna.
Earlier you were discussing in chapter 15 that Krishna talks about the soul.
It's coming.
I'm doing a paper on the soul in my Bhakti Shastra class, and I'm almost finished with it. And you spoke in chapter 15, Krishna speaks about the soul as eternal. So I picked up the book and I looked and I couldn't find it. Can you please tell me where in chapter 15 Krishna talks about the soul as eternal?
The soul is eternal.
We were talking about in chapter 15, Krishna describes about the soul.
It's eternal.
Yeah, he said that.
No, you don't find that in chapter 15? We don't find it. Oh. So find it for you? It's not a Bhakti Sastri class, no? You didn't see text 7? You didn't see text 7? Did you see text 7? Text 7 is there to chapter 15 or what? Chapter 15 has 7th verse or not? Is it?
Yes,
so what did Krishna say? Mam Amsa is what? Sanatan. Mam Amsa is Sanatan. Satana. Alright? So you're going to write it, yeah? Any comments or questions? Yes,
thank you so much for it.
It's different than the mood.
Thank you so much for an amazing erudite class. It was, you had some amazing points, but I have one little question. It's a very simple question, but you mentioned something about sadhana, as to how when one performs sadhana, one's empowered.
Yes.
Right. And I was reading something recently about conscious sadhana and unconscious sadhana. Like when someone does sadhana consciously, or pleasing the Lord, pleasing one's guru, and there is unconscious sadhana, which is like mechanical. Someone might just do mechanically, you know, chanting the rounds, going, waking up, going to a temple routine. So I'm just wondering, is there a difference of empowerment? Like there are two people, one is doing consciously, one is doing unconsciously. Do they both get empowered on the same level, doing the same activities? Or is it like, depending on the Lord's mercy or what he sees fit? I mean, how does empowerment really work with sadhana? Just
there are two things: Krishna's mercy and effort. Two things, they are together. One is not enough. One is not enough. The two must go together. Without effort, Christ's mercy will not come. And effort alone, we cannot make it. Why? It means that we can make it on our own. Therefore, effort alone is not sufficient. Mercy alone is not sufficient. Because it will mean that Christian is partial. If his mercy is there, why not everybody? Therefore, effort must be made. The mercy will come in. And Christian will see the effort by making. He will complement. Both are necessary. In that context, unconscious sadhana bhakta and conscious sadhana bhakta, they cannot have the same experience. Otherwise, it will also mean cheating. Why should I go to work Monday to night and get the same salary with the person who has come to work for only 2 hours, getting the same salary? Why? That would be cheating. Therefore, effort is necessary to complement our effort. Mercy will come after effort.
The argument can be made that both individuals are doing the same thing, the same activities.
Yes.
Like, they're doing the same number of rounds, they're going to the same programs, they're doing the exact same things.
Yes.
So, I mean, the effort is being made, whether consciously or unconsciously. Like, someone is coming to work, and he's just working for the sake of working. The other one is working because he loves the work. Maybe he's doing it for a higher purpose.
Mm.
So, what does empowerment really depend on? I'm just...
Yes, yes. Good. It's a good question. Very good question. Two devotees have entered the kitchen with the same ingredients. Right? The same ingredients. The same. The two devotees are given chance to cook. Unconscious cook is cooking. What will happen to that food? What will happen to the food? To be burnt.
It may not taste.
To not taste, it will get burnt. Right? Unconscious cook, what will happen after he's cooking? Wonderful, tasty, everybody will appreciate that. So can we say that the manager who has given this opportunity to the two cooks is partial? No. The partiality is not coming from him. The difference is coming from the two cooks. So our performance will determine when Krishna's mercy will come. Depends on our performance. So someone is starting a business with 50,000 rupees. Another person is starting with 1 million rupees. Do we expect both of them to have the same profit? No. They will not, because the input is different. That is why you see, we are reading the same Bhagavad Gita, right? The same Hare Krishna mantra we are chanting, the same temple, deity we worship, the same special master is there. Our advancement are not on the same level. Depends on our input, right? So, a person who is trying, a devotee who is trying, is hearing very nicely, and whatever he hears, he's practicing. You will get the result of that. The other person is sitting in a class, but is distracted, is doing all kinds of things, and play all around. You cannot get the same result. A student in the same class, now he's doing bachelor's study. They are getting training from the same teacher, right? But the same question I'm going to ask all of them. Will they get 100% all of them? So is it the problem of the teacher? No, it's the student. It depends on how much we have listened, how much we practice, and how we're going to demonstrate what we have had. According to that, we're going to put it in the paper, and the examiner will look at it. You did better. Thank you. You give a certificate. So empowerment is not because they are not making, but they are not making effort. They are making effort. They are making effort. But according to the quality and quantity of their effort, one person is empowered, another person will wait for many lifetimes for his empowerment to come, depending on our effort. So there's no partiality there. It depends on the mood which is controlling us. You see, if you keep a person in the mode of goodness together with a person in the mode of ignorance, they will never have misunderstanding. They will never. Because they're on different levels. They're completely different. Right? But if you put ignorance and ignorance, passion and passion together, they will have difficulty. Because that is what their moods will demonstrate. So then you can ask, Krishna, why is this different between these two people? Why is this different? The difference is the mode. And the mode is not, although Krishna is the supreme controller of the three modes of material nature, he is not the one assigning anyone to any of the modes. It is our individual choice. Krishna simply facilitates. Anu mantra upadrasta. I witness everything and I give permission. I give permission. Krishna gives permission. He does not impose anything on anyone, but he gives us permission according to our desire. So if you desire to carry this table, right? It's a desire to carry the table, but you cannot carry it. So Krishna lifts it on our head. We blame him for the weight. We blame him. No, it's our desire. We desire. Majority of us will have to learn through experiencing it. Very few people will learn from hearing. Very few. That means that majority of people are not in goodness. In goodness, learn from hearing. Just hear will follow. In ignorance, one will experience it, and even experiencing it will not learn. It will take long time to be able to come to the point of accepting, okay, I'm tired of this. It will take a long time. Bahunam janmanamante gyanamam mamam mam prapajante. Sa mahatma suru labha. Sa mahatma. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you for a nice question. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavad Gita ki jai.